Federal leaders like you know that modernizing IT requires updated technology and a culture shift. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
October 1st is fast approaching, so many federal contractors are looking to have the government exercise options to extend contracts for another fiscal year. Exercising options comes with pretty strict rules, though, and often the government goofs, and that can be costly. Joining me with a few tips on options, Attorney Terry O'Connor, a partner at Berenzweig Leonard. Terry, good to have you back.
Good morning.
What are the big mistakes that contracting officers tend to make that you see that can often benefit contractors, maybe, but they'd rather not?
Well, in teaching contracting officers, and I've been teaching them for 30 years as well as being in private practice, the biggest mistake they make is they don't follow very simple rules. The clause in their contract says typically that they have to give an advance warning 60 days in advance that they're going to exercise the option. This makes sense. You want to make sure that the contractor knows whether or not they're going to be working within after the 60 days. So this preliminary notice is very important. And what happens, I have a client right now where it happened to, the government gave them 55 days notice. Now, it's not something I think that our client is going to go suing the government over, but it is so easy for the government to do it right that I think giving the preliminary notice 60 days in advance is the first issue. The second mistake.
Briefly, what is the consequence if it's 55 days or 50 days?
Technically and legally, the government can be responsible for a constructive change and the contractor can get more money. Practically, we tell our clients, don't fight over 55 days. Now, if it
that's like fighting for a hot stove.
Yes, yes, yeah. You don't want to do that. You want to work out with the government these kinds of issues. So that's not such a big problem unless the contractor has already lined up some additional work, and then the government's got a problem and to try and get the contractor off work that the contractor was reasonably understanding was going to be needed to fill in the work that the government is no longer needing.
So you could send a $24 cake into the contracting office 60 days in advance and say, just a reminder on the cake,
exactly.
60 days birthday or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Would that be written notice? Yeah, it could be. But give the government, the government's got to give the contractors a heads up.
Okay, so that's mistake number one.
Right.
What else?
Yeah. Mistake number two is that when the government actually exercises the option before the contract ends, typically, again, 60 days after the preliminary notice was given, the government gets it into the hands of the contractor too late. The notice of actually exercising the option has to get into the contractor's hands within 60 days. In their hands, not contracting officers not mailing it out 60 days, in their contractor's hands.
Received by,
yes. That will invalidate an option if it doesn't get there in time. The biggest problem that I see is that when contracting officers, and I guess as we're getting into the third problem is, and I've seen this in class, where contracting officers are going to be going through the whole process of issuing a contract modification. And because a contract modification takes a lot of paperwork and sometimes approvals, the contracting officer thinks to themselves, well, why don't I just exercise the option by way of this modification and I'll change some of the clauses at the same time? That's wrong. When you exercise an option, the option has to be exercised on the exact same terms in the contract itself. What I tell contracting officers is use two pieces of paper. Send the option exercise flat out, same terms and conditions, and use a second piece of paper to negotiate any kind of changes you want. But I've seen a number of situations where the government has decided to use one piece of paper, and it's the kiss of death.
Sure. We're speaking with Terry O'Connor, a partner at the law firm Berenzweig Leonard. And if they try to renegotiate something that is actually an option or a renewal, or then does that require the government to go maybe do rebid the whole thing as follow-ons?
Yeah, not necessarily. I think what the government would typically do here is just negotiate. And again, I think contractors want work, and especially if they've been working 1, 2, 3 years already, and the government screws up an option. The average contractor and contracting officer wants to work to keep going on. people work it out. We tell our clients all the time, work it out. Don't get into a dispute or file a claim or something like this. Work it out with a contract. It's good for your past performance evaluation, too, that you're working with the contracting officer. And it's such an easy thing to mess up for the government. It's just very easy to mess it up. So the easy thing is there are three easy rules. You know, follow those rules, get you off, get that off your back.
And if you expect, reductions in price as a contract drones on year after year, or if you expect escalators because of some purpose, should those be negotiated before the option year comes around?
Yes.
Should it be negotiated at the outset?
Yeah. Usually they are. What happens, though, is that if there is an improper option exercise, the contractor is entitled to an equitable adjustment for the additional amount of money that they have to pay. So in other words, the contractor had guessed wrong on what the prices of the third option year would be, and his prices in the contract were too low. Well, if the government doesn't exercise that option properly, the contractor is entitled to whatever it costs him for that year. So if he had guessed wrong when he signed the contract with the four options, 3 years later, his costs have skyrocketed. He gets those back.
And that brings up the question, are there any nuances between, say, if it's a product delivery contract versus a services contract?
Yeah, good distinction. Yeah. A lot of contracts for products have option clauses that allow the government to buy perhaps a stated number. The government has the right to buy 100 extra widgets at a given time. If the government exercised the option for 100 widgets but only orders 50 of the 100, that's inaccurate. That's inappropriate. And the problem there is going to be it invalidates the option. The problem there is going to be that the cost of a contractor doing only 50 widgets could be a lot more expensive per widget than if they were doing 100 items. The cost would be lower, I would hope, economies of scale. So when there's an option for additional stated quantities, 100, the government has to order the 100 or negotiate a change and an equitable adjustment to do the 50. But don't try to cram. Once you have an option for 100, don't try to cram an option for 50 down the contractor's throat. You're going to pay for it.
Sure. And do you also find that the operators of large multiple award contracts, the GWACs and so forth, are they particularly sharp because they may have 50 or 100 contracts to exercise options on at a given time? They must be the experts at it.
That's a great issue. Some of the GWACs have excellent contracting officers, but they're swamped. And a lot of times the work is done by contract specialists, and perhaps they're not as well trained or not as experienced. And agency by agency, you're going to see a different levels of expertise. My experience has been that the federal supply schedule is pretty good, and the GWACs are good. But I would just like to think that having taught contracting officers for a long time and contract specialists, I like to think that they're doing a good job as well.
All right. But your advice to them is make a mistake, then throw yourself on the mercy of the customer.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And reward the customer by giving them a good evaluation, or at least mention that they were cooperative when that kind of issue came up. Now, of course, you're going to have to disclose in CPARS that the option was delivered late. You're going to have to show that you perhaps had made a mistake. But it's worth a payoff to a contractor to get those kinds of kudos in a past performance evaluation.
Terry O'Connor is a partner at the law firm Berenzweig Leonard. As always, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.